not a time to get away from the Word. It's not a time to go thinking away from the Word. The Word, you know, if we build, see, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He's the rock in which we build our life. We get born again. And then we take that Word, and then we shape our future with the Word of God. We start thinking like God thinks about us. He said we're kings and priests unto God, right? Well, we don't think that we're nobody, no matter where we come from anymore. We change our way of thinking. We are kings and priests unto God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. Well, then we don't think we're sick and weak anymore. We may feel sick. We may be weak. But we don't think and we don't say, I'm just weak and sick and all that. Guy told me the other day, but listen, you can't let the culture around you mold the way you think. Not the media, not the news, the weatherman gets some people oppressed, Mac. When it's 85 degrees and James Spann or whoever you listen to says it's going to be 49 next week, that throws you into oppression. That bad news, that bad report, just changed the way you believed, the way you felt, the way you're going to live life. It just changed it. When you should have the Word and say, no matter how cold it is, God works all things together for the good to those that this is the day that the Lord had made, and we're going to be rejoice and be glad in it. See, what I'm saying is, you know, I mean, the Lord had us Wednesday night on our mind. You know, the enemy wants to come, and I mean, just like with me, you know, God told me the other day, he said, well, when you get older, you're going to get arthritis. I said, no, I'm not. I've been redeemed from it. I just walked away. He don't know what I'm talking about. Colossians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law of sin and death. Well, if you go look at most Christians don't even know what the curse of the law is. They've never went into their Bible to find out what the curse of the law is. What is the curse? Right, Darcy got Deuteronomy over there. It tells us the curse. It's got hemorrhoids are even in there. I mean, hemorrhoids are in it. Under the curse, Mac, they're in the Bible, hemorrhoids. And I thought, never getting hemorrhoids after I got saved. I thought, I'm never getting hemorrhoids. I knew of people getting hemorrhoids. Having to get in preparation H and all kinds of stuff. I don't know what all they're having to get. But you know what? We've been redeemed from that. All sickness and disease. The Bible. Sugar, diabetes. High blood pressure. Low blood pressure. Come on, somebody. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. He said in Deuteronomy, he said, if you'll hearken to me, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. And then he goes on down, he said, if you won't hearken, all these curses will come on you. Then he says, choose. He said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. He said, you choose life. See, he's told everybody, you can live under the curse. You can still walk and think under the curse after you get born again if you want to. You can still say, stay sick and weak in your mind. Hallelujah. they come in the hospital in there. Now see, I was under attack, Johnny. You know, I mean, I'm talking about the sermon. It was trying to mess with my mind. I'll never be the man that I once was. Listen, I can tote my grandkids now across fields at the pumpkin patch that I couldn't do before I had surgery. I couldn't walk from here to the car without having to stop and rest and all of that. My little grandson was limping back there, and he wasn't saying nothing. He's having a blast. We riding them big slides and stuff down through there. You know, and he's limping. Come on, Papa, got to go do it again. And he's limping, and so I just reached down, put him up on my shoulders, and I thought, I can do it now, Jesus. You know, and I toted that baby down and up that hill, and he wanted down at the top. And I told maybe Travis, I don't know who it was, I said, there's no way before surgery that I could have did that. Toted my grandbaby that far. Barely could walk that far. But you know what? That's what I'm saying. See, but in there, you know, in the hospital and And they brought me a big tray of painkillers. Not a big tray. I mean, I'm exaggerating. I mean, they want you to eat them painkillers. My doctor actually got on to me because I wouldn't take an extra painkiller that she had to make me relax. And I told her, I said, that painkiller ain't going to make me relax. Get that tube out of my lungs. Jerk the tube out. Come on, man, get the tube out. That's the only thing where I'm hurting is that. She got on to me. I would not give you that so you would relax. I said, I'm not taking painkillers. That nurse come in there and I said, which one of those painkillers? Them? I said, take them back. I was in pain, I'll be honest with you. I was in a little bit of pain and all of that, you know, but I'm not going to let anything alter my thinking right then because I got to keep my mind stayed on the Lord. I got to stay alert of what's going on around me, but God, because I'm under attack now and I'm going to come out of this with victory. I'm not coming out of this defeated. Hallelujah. See, now that's my story, but you've got your story. You might be under attack today. Your body might be under attack. Your finances might be under attack. Your marriage, your kinfolk, your kids, your grand, you might be, but don't get unfocused under the attack to where God can't move in and work for you. Well, we just waiting on God. No, we don't have to wait on God no more. God's already did it 2,000 years ago. Jesus said, till he comes, occupy. He said, occupy till I come. The word occupy means to take ground, build relationships, get relationships richer with people you love, all kinds of things, hallelujah. And you know, Romans over there, it says that, give me that scripture. I think it's Romans 5, is it? 5, 3 and 4. Therefore, being justified, you're made right because of your faith in Jesus Christ. He says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know when you get born again, you get at peace with God? You have peace with God. Hallelujah. Therefore, being justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead. By whom we have access, listen to this, by whom we have access by faith, because we believe, into grace, wherein we stand. You ain't going to stand without that grace he's talking about. We have access to grace. And some people just think that grace is unmerited favor. It's way deeper than that. Grace is the power of God. Grace is the power of God. Did you know there's a grace that we can walk in the financial realm? I walk in it. I'll never be broke again another day in my life. And people get mad at me for saying that. But boy, when I was broke down yonder, where that's broke, oh yeah, nobody knew. Everybody jumped on that bandwagon. How broke we are. Yeah, we come from a broke family. Broke family, but we get money and say, hey, I'm blessed, and people get mad then, Johnny. Most people that get mad about when I talk about giving and all that, it's because they ain't giving. You know, that it's your business whether you want to prosper or not. It's your business. That's your business. If you like broke, stay broke. If you don't like going to eat a steak, I go to Santa Fe about every Friday night, baby. I ate me a steak, but God, they don't want me to, but I bless it before I eat it. Well, you know what? There was a day back then, you know, when I'd be like, boy, I'd like to go to a steakhouse, but good God, $75. Whoa. Now I don't even think about it. I'm like, let's go, baby. Hallelujah. Go up there. How much is it going to be? Oh, God, $80. No, I don't care. Give them 20 tip, dude. Shoot, them waiters looking for me in trades. Hey, we want to get them. Let me have them. They can do a bad job. They get $20. $20. Just tip them. I have tipped 40 and 60. I have give 100. You start doing that, they looking for you. Buddy, your tea glass will never get dry. I mean, you slobber on your jaw and they'll slap some napkins in your lap. Hallelujah. I mean, they watching you around the corner, baby. I mean, if you need anything, they going to show up. I mean, lickety-split. That's the blessing. That's the blessing of the Lord. And then you go in there and you bust a $100, $50 bill, $30 on them, you know, praise God. And you never know how they needed that for their babies. You don't know how they needed that for gas money. You don't know, but you're going there. Did you know that waiters are servants? They serve you. They get paid to serve us. They're servants. And did you know that if I was a waiter, I would want all them church people, well, I might not. Some of the church people take the offering nothing left. I've had people that don't leave them that much. I want to give, smack them out right there. Don't leave them that much, man. They done a rotten job for that. Some of the lousiest waiters. Look at that lousy thing they're having to put up with to wait on. Right, box? You. Ooh, God, y'all are quiet. See, when you're under attack, it's not a time to give in to anything other than the Word. Bless God by Jesus stripes, I'm healed. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, and I stand on that. I didn't feel real good this morning, Matt, and I got up and thought, shut up. I'm not listening to you this morning, Black God. I'm going to church, hallelujah. Got time to feel how I feel, hallelujah. How many knows you walk by faith, you don't go by how you feel. The doctor can tell me I'm going to have arthritis cause daddy, and I'm going to tell him, no, I won't either. I've been redeemed from that. Not going to have to take stuff for arthritis. Well, it just runs in my family. You've been told here for years, but God, that you've been redeemed. You're in a new family. You have a new blood. You have new DNA. Hallelujah. Well, how do you figure that? Because the Bible says that old things pass away, and behold, all things become new, and all things are of God. You're in a new lineage now. You have a new anointing now. You have a new grace in your life from the Lord to walk and see healing power operating. Not just healing. I mean, if my dad had knew what I knew, I guarantee he'd probably live to be 80, 90 years old. I ain't going to die sick. Now, it's just some things we can't control. No, we can't, but God can. He's already controlled it. But you know, defeat is in the mind. If I believe, I mean, just like when I come out of open heart surgery, and I mean, I couldn't walk from here to the door right under without needing a nap, Mac. I mean, I needed a nap after 5 minutes. Wore out. My mind, I didn't realize how weak in the natural I was until I went to do something. I went to do, you know, to try to get back up living life. My mind told me you're going to be disabled. In my heart, I said, nope, I'm not living off a disability. Bless God, not going to live off of it. But God, Daddy lived off of $500-something a month, couldn't help none of his kids do nothing. I'm going to walk in the blessing of the Lord that makes me rich and adds no sorrow. This body is not me. It's not going to bring me down to where I can't do nothing like I always have to help and give and be a blessing, Black God. And you know what? I come right back out of it in the name of Jesus. My body wasn't going to let me go to work or nothing. Black God, I had a vision of being in a wheelchair. You know, still preaching in a wheelchair while, and I cast that thing out, hallelujah. It's called powers of concentration. You're able to concentrate on being healed. Concentrate on being healed. Concentrate on being healed. Concentrate on being healed. Listen, we concentrate on being sick. I'm hurting. It hurts. I got to have, whatever the case might be. And did you know the more that you focus in on what you, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I didn't write it, but it's true. I believe it. Healing, just like Teresa said, healing has been put in us by the Lord. Supernatural healing takes place the minute you get cut, hit, something attacks you, fever showing your body, telling you your body is fighting. When you have fever, it's your body fighting. How much more with the anointing, the healing power, the grace, and faith added to that. Faith added to it, praise God. I mean, everybody I see, they're, John, you just had it a year ago? I'm like, yeah, man, I mean, I'm back at work in 3 months. Black God, no, I had to go back to work by faith, Mac. When you met me down here, I'm struggling to dig a hole. That, of course, that's hard ground. But he didn't know I'm struggling. I don't guess. Well, did you? I couldn't pick postal diggers up. Black God, I guess he did know. Well, I didn't know it. I didn't know it. All I knew is I'm going to make it. I mean, I didn't really know it. I did, but I didn't. I would not let my mind go there. My mind stayed on full recovery all the time. I kept it charged. You know, you can charge your spiritual battery. You sure can. Go around singing psalms, spiritual songs, hymns, making melody unto the Lord, hallelujah. You know, rehearsing the word, not your pain. Rehearsing the word and not your loss. Rehearsing the word, and just like Sandy, whatever the case might be, somebody's done it wrong. I don't know what happened, and she made up her mind. Black God, this is not taking me down. This, I'm forgiving them. I'm rolling this over on the Lord. Hallelujah. I hear her doing that a lot, and I hear people getting healed and her getting free. Anybody that does it. But it says, by whom also we have access, by faith. Well, I don't got faith. Well, you're lying to yourself. If you're a Christian, that's a lie. You're believing a lie. The Bible says that every man has been given the measure of faith. You've been given it. You've got it. Now, Romans 10, 17 says faith comes by hearing, and hear. When you're under attack, it's not a time to turn on secular music. There's a tear. I don't know what it is. I looked at Teresa the other day, and I said, you make the speaker go boom, boom. And I ain't heard the whole song, but I heard Travis sing the junk, or whatever it is. Singing it to Beth. I'm not saying secular music. He told me one time, Dad, it ain't sin. I said, I never said it was. I got tapes all the way back from 2008. I've never said secular music was a sin, son. But secular music don't feed my spirit, man. And I ain't got time when I'm under attack to get that going on to ease the pain that I'm going through. Nah, the joy of the Lord is our strength, Christian strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The Word of God gives us the shield of faith that he's talking about in Ephesians that quenches all the fiery darts of the devil. That's how come I don't get oppressed. I don't got time to get oppressed. I don't got time to get sick, hallelujah. I don't sit around listening. Listen, I'm not depressed over what's going to take place in November. I don't miss listening to none of them liars on TV. That TV ain't going to determine what I believe. I believe that God is going to be in control November the 3rd. I believe that God's people are pro-choice, pro-life. We are against abortion. God's against abortion. We don't vote for people that will abort babies. We don't do it for no reason. Don't want to have abortion, don't get pregnant. If you're pregnant, have an abortion, think somebody out there wants a baby. Don't kill it. Just give it up. Give it to somebody. That you could have been a thought of abortion with your mama, and she didn't do it. Don't you thank God she didn't? Come on, somebody. See, we got to stay focused. See, America is under attack, if you've not noticed it, by the dark side in a way that it's never been before. I mean, it is coming down, baby. It's coming down. I mean, praise God, darkness is trying to get in and going to rule, and we would not have a God-given right and living like we have now, when this, I'm believing God that it's not time for it to be one world government. There is in the Bible going to come a time when it's going to be a one world government is going to rule. And when that one world government begins to rule, the Antichrist is going to be the runner of all of it. And he's going to take away all rights and all ways of living that me and you know now. But I'm believing God, I'm going to be out of here. But you know, all through the Bible, that people, I mean, there's been even democracy in the Bible. God set up a way they go. The world didn't go that way. You know, just like the Halloween coming up, and don't get all upset about it. But you go study Halloween. Where did it come from? Ireland carved turnips. But you know, they put those out there to ward off people that had come back from the dead that don't come back from the dead. Demons come. Demons are here. Ain't nobody coming. My daddy ain't coming back watching over me. That's not biblical. There's demon spirits that knew my daddy, that knew how my daddy was, that's still here. They're ancient. They're spirits. They know everything. They know everything about everybody too. They take note. They know that I used to be an adulterer, and they try to get me, y'all come back at times to get me to be an adulterer again. They remember. They have a conscience. I'm telling you, man. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with celebrating what harvest God give us. That's what really it's all about. It's been turned into satanic worship. And satanic, listen, there's people that has kids to sacrifice them to Satan. You may not know none of them, but it is really real. It is really true. Satan is really real. Satanism is real. Satan worship is real. Just like we worship God, people worship Satan. And you know what? There's people innocently gets involved in Satan worship. They worship other gods. All the apple bob and all that come from nations that didn't serve God. Immigrants that come over here and migrated and brought these things in from pagan gods, hallelujah, and they bowed down and worshiped pagan gods. And that is part of their worship at this time of the year. Somebody just told me the other day, well, you don't have nothing going on for the kids for Halloween. I said, I don't partake in Halloween. I've studied it. Witchcraft is forbidden in the Bible, and it's a big part of it. Witchcraft and soothsayers and all kinds of darkness going on at that time of the year. It is a time of worship of other gods. It's just like, I mean, you know, and people don't go to church here. I can't help that, man. Read your Bible. Do your own Bible study. Do your own research where Halloween come from. Research. I mean, just think about it. Had some kids couldn't come to. See, I'm not just telling you a story here. It's just that I've got to stand for truth in my heart as a Christian and a minister, or I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. Well, I mean, you know, had some folks come here. They're on a bus, and I'm picking kids up, and two of them asked me. They said, Brother Scotty, is Santa Claus real? It was a trick question. And I said, I thought, no, man, don't ask me that. And these little kids on the bus. And I said, ask your parents. No, Brother Scotty, we want you to tell us. I said, no, come on, y'all ask your parents. No, it's Santa. I said, no, he ain't true. He ain't real. Yes, he is. I said, no, he ain't. I said, he ain't coming down your chimney. He ain't bringing you no gifts. Santa Claus ain't real. Come to church. They didn't get to come to church no more. Their grandmother actually got me a few weeks later down there. My sister got me, and she said, I can't believe you ruined Christmas for them kids. I said, what do you mean, ruined Christmas? I said, let me ask you something. You want me to go ahead and poke lies to them all the time? I said, let me ask you something. Is Santa Claus real? I asked her point blank, is he? You know what her answer was? He's not really real. I said, well, then you want me to lie to your grandkids? I said, you want me to lie to them then? I said, you're mad at me and they're mad at me for saying the truth. I said, I'm supposed to speak the truth because I love people. Speaking the truth in love, the Bible says, that we will grow up. That we'll grow up to a mature man. You know, and they say, well, you know, the kids, it's going to take away all the fun. I said, oh, no, it ain't. They go play with every toy I get or they think Santa Claus got. Either way, they don't care. Just get me the toy. I said, and besides all of that, I'm the one that works and he gets the credit for all them toys. I'm the one that works and pays for all them toys, and then he gets the credit for it. And then he finds out later that Daddy lied, that Santa Claus wasn't real. I said, how do you think the kids are going to feel when they find out you, Grandma, lied to them, and Daddy and Mama lied to them about Santa Claus? I said, how do you think that's going to make them feel? I said, are they going to feel good emotionally then? The toys are gone, the games are gone, but life is still rocking on. Now they've got kids, are they going to pass the lies on down to them? And then they, you know what I'm saying? Y'all see what I'm saying? See, when you're under attack, and I mean every year, I mean I'm under attack. Y'all just told me the other day, I know we don't partake in Halloween, but you think it'll be okay? I said, you do what you want to, buddy. I said, I'm not going to try to control you. I'm not going to tell you whether you can go apple bobbing or not. Go. That's up to you. That is absolutely up to you. I said, but for this church, I'm not going to bring this church in any kind of way where there's any room for any pagan gods. I said, and it's not going to happen. Not going to happen with the Easter Bunny. It's not going to happen with Santa Claus. What on God's green earth has Jesus and Easter bunnies and eggs got to do with anything? Well, the kids have fun. Look, dude, I mean, you know, let them have fun. But teach them truth. You teach them Jesus died on the cross. And Jesus was raised on the third day. And you teach them that Christmas is the time, really, that we celebrate Jesus. Not Santa Claus. Jesus. It's about the time of his birth. His birthday. Around that time of the year. And, then, you know, if we're not careful, we turn that celebration into something, and then we're broke all year because we borrow money to buy gifts. When the ultimate gift is Jesus. See, listen, the truth is under attack in our life. But if we keep the truth in our hearts, get it in our hearts, and keep the truth in our hearts, the Bible says that we will know the truth, and the truth will make us free. What if we don't know the truth? It won't make us free. Lies bind us up. Come on, somebody. It says that with this grace where we stand and rejoice and hope the glory of God. Go on, give me that next. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. You know, I wasn't going to mention Halloween. I told God this morning I'm not going to mention it, Lord. Lord, if it's okay, just let me stay on about this, Lord. He said, what's your problem? Why would you not mention it? I said, well, Lord, I mean, you know how it is. People get upset at me. But he don't care. He just really don't care. He knows truth sets people free and lies bind. Hallelujah. My sister told me one time about Travis. I wouldn't let him partake. Oh, that poor kid. You've got him in a prison. Ends up, hers nearly went to prison. I didn't have him in the prison back. I wouldn't let him play with Pokemon. Have nothing to do with Pokemon. He didn't watch no witchcraft on TV. He didn't watch no Bewitch. He didn't watch none of these little witches they got on there now. These secular shows, you know, they got powers and all. He didn't ever watch none of that. We wouldn't even let him play a video game where he could get out and throw people out of their cars, steal it. Whatever that was. Grand Theft Auto or something, what is it? Just think of the name. You played it, you shouldn't have. Oh, you heard it. Well, that's good enough. We didn't let him, we didn't turn him on to none of them games that desensitized him to reality. We wouldn't let him be turned on to none of that stuff. You know, I mean, that boy never heard a cuss word on my TV. Thank God he did. Did we, with me and Teresa, we had that sky angel, thank God, and we didn't hardly never know nothing was going on until after it happened in the world, man. And then we made it through it just fine, Mac. We didn't have all the knowledge, the information. See, we're living in an information time to where, but you know, I mean, the thing about it is, you know, like I told somebody the other day, they said, well, I was talking about the video games and things, and this lady was talking about how her son's up there, and she hates it, and I said, oh, just stay on track, ma'am. My son's 28 years old, and he's in church, he got his two kids in church, he leads praise and worship, his wife's up in the, I said, we did exactly what you're doing, and he said exactly what your kid was saying, that it ain't fair that everybody else gets to do all this and go. And I said, and I told him, they're not going where you're going. They're not going to go where you go, son. That was the only answer I gave him. I told her, I said, you stay on track. You feel all alone if you have to, but you keep your son on that track. I said, in one day, she said, I take him to church every time the door's open. I said, that's great. She said, but he thinks I'm unfair and all that. I said, that's okay. Let him think that. I said, you stay on track, and one day your son will be doing great things for Jesus. I mean, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed. Don't let your kids be conformed to the world. Doing what the world does. You know, just anything goes. I've had people tell me, well, I want to be their friend. I said, you don't need to be their friend. You need to be their daddy. You need to be their parent. You don't need to be their friend. They got all kinds of friends. Well, don't want them mad at me. They're going to get mad at you if you do or mad at you if you don't. So you might as well just suck it up and be the parent. Travis, he don't like some of my ways now, but I don't ask him. I'm smarter than he is. I'm 53 and he's 28. I've got a few years up on him, praise God. I know more things about God than he does, more than likely. He knows scripture, but I know deeper things. He can glean off of me. Some people say, my kids are smarter than me. No, you're dumb for thinking that way. Don't be thinking that way. We're in God. God anoints us. It ain't about how old or smart or how they went to school. It's got to do with place. It's got to do with the anointing of God that is on our lives, hallelujah, to impart to our kids, even if they did go all the way through college. God gives us wisdom they ain't got. Well, I'm just dumb as dirt. All my kids, you can't think like that. Get your mind in the Lord. Get your mind and heart fixed on the Lord so that you can lead. Even in old age, y'all older men and older women, you are supposed to be living examples to your daughters and living examples to your sons and your grandchildren of God. Not of gossip, not of hate, not of anger, not of lying. We're supposed to be living examples to the people, and we have an anointing for it. See, but when we're under attack, we give in to the way things feel, the way the enemy says, hallelujah. And I'm telling you, it calls us to go back in God. It'll absolutely cause us. Give me that Mark 4. I'm going to close here in a minute. This is Mark chapter 4, verse 14. The sower soweth the word. How many knows the word is seed? The word of God is seed. Now I read that Bible and I don't get nothing out of your head. I ain't going to never get nothing out of it. You're thinking normal. You're thinking with your carnal mind. The Bible said your carnal mind is an enemy to God. It is an enemy to God. That's why the Bible says that we are to renew our mind with the word. The Bible says we're to put on the mind of Christ. I mean, we're not to just to think normal anymore. Yeah, told me one time, he said, well, brother, we got to use common sense. I don't remember what was talking about. I said, where'd you get that scripture at in the Bible? I said, come on, tell me. Where did you get that scripture? What scripture did that come from that we use common sense? There's nowhere in the Bible I look for it, Matt, because that's a saying out in the world. We just use common sense. Or we go by our gut. Well, the Bible says us as Christians, Romans 8:14, that we're to be led by the Spirit of God. Not by gut, not by common sense, you know, but by the Spirit of God. The Bible says we're to be led by the Spirit of God. Every job that I price, I'm looking on the inside. I'm saying, how much do I charge, God? Do I supposed to get this job or not? Do I need to take this or not? Every job that I price, I'm talking to the Lord about it. My vehicles, I'm talking to the Lord about them. Should I get rid of them when they're frustrating? You know when they're frustrating, when things are frustrated, you want to get rid of it? I was under attack. All my trucks was down but one. And it started skipping. And I thought, man, what was that bank's number? Done been so long now since I borrowed any money, I don't remember the number. I did have it. Shoot, just redial. I thought, bless God, I can't put up with this now. My vehicles are down and all that, you know. And I better get me. And then, you know, I was fixing to pick up the phone, and I was going to call and say, look, I'm fixing to find me a truck for about $17,000. And I need to know, is that okay? And then, I had the phone in my hand. And I thought, nope, I'm under attack right now. And this attack's going to lead me to bondage. I don't owe nothing on vehicles right now, but just a few minutes, I can have a $700 a month bill plus $200 insurance right quick. I could be paying $750 a month right quick. And I thought, no, glory to God, this attack. See, why am I telling you that? See, because when you're under attack, it's not a time to yield to feelings and emotions and the way it looks. The Bible says, while we look not at the things that are seen, because they're temporal. And so I wouldn't do it. I thought, bless God, the anointing will have to stay on this one. My truck, all my service to my main truck, other truck, Travis's truck blew a line out. We'll be trying to use it. All we're trying to do is go to work like y'all do. And everything tears up. You're trying to go to work. But you know what I told the Lord? I said, Lord, I walk by faith and not by sight. I will not go back in bondage, bless God. It took me 10 years to get out of debt with vehicles. And bless God, I don't owe nobody nothing on them, Lord. They're mine, and I'll believe for the anointing to fix them and all of that stuff, praise God. And you know what? It all started coming back together. I've got all of my trucks back on the road with no payment. See, under pressure is when you yield to that flesh, when your body's sick. Don't lay around there, oh, God, call mama. Oh, I'm hurting. I'm telling you, don't do that. The Bible says over there, calling those things that be not as though they were. Call yourself healed. I wanted to tell Teresa, got around the grandkids, got a snotty nose. And I mean, I just about drank. I didn't drink it, but I'm telling you how extreme it was. I mean, every time they'd get around me, I'd pour it all over everybody. Come on, everybody. You know. Aiden touched the couch. He touched the middle of the couch. This was last Tuesday. He touched the middle of the couch. I mean, when he left, because his fingers up his nose, and then they're touching everything. I took a bath. I did it all over my face. I thought, there ain't nothing going past this. I mean, all night long, I was on guard, boy. I'm not getting that garbage, you know. Next morning, get up, my throat's scratchy. I'm like, oh, what? Are you serious? I did everything. And then all of a sudden, I thought, I wasn't up on my faith. I was using Germex. I was on Germex, but I wasn't up on faith. I'm telling you, it hit me that morning. Bless God, hallelujah. And I mean, all of a sudden, I realized how it got me. Germex couldn't stop it. Dude all done everything but drank it. And I mean, I got on that, bless God, that morning. I said, uh-oh, I let it slip by, Lord, hallelujah. I let it slip by, depending on Germex. That's That garbage didn't work. The Word works. The Spirit works. Hallelujah. And I jumped on that, and I began to rebuke that off of my body, bless God. And Satan told me Friday, he said, you won't preach Sunday, filling your throat. Am I here? Huh? He's a liar. Bless God, I'm not going to get strip throat or no kind of other strip. I'm not getting that. That stuff ain't going to attack me and stay on me. I rebuked it, kicked it out, and it's gone in the name. I had just a little bit this morning. I like the way Trump recovered, don't you? I mean, he's in the hospital 1 minute, out rallying 3 days later. COVID, all three of them whipped. They whipped that COVID faster than I ever seen anybody. Hallelujah. He stood up, I ain't got time to get sick. I thought he thinks like me. Hallelujah. I ain't got time to get sick. I'm too busy. See, if you're busy in the Lord, busy about the Lord's business, praise God. Teresa's busy about Aubrey. See, it's not just her grandbaby. Let me tell you something. Your grandbabies ain't just your grandbaby. Your grandbaby's been given to you by Jesus, and those grandbabies are depending on grandparents and parents raising them up in the admonition of the Lord. So Teresa sits in line for an hour and a half. She looked at me the other day, and she said, you want to go with me? And I said, absolutely not. Sitting over there for an hour and a half to pick Aubrey up. Hour and a half. But you know what she does? She gets her preaching tapes in the car. She gets her books in the car, Bible, her notes and all of that, her everything that she needs to take notes. She takes advantage of the time that she's taking care of baby Aubrey. Taking advantage of that time. And then you know what, praise God? Little Aubrey now, she's like, Grammy didn't pray for me today. Hey, let me pray for you. When it started, first started to scare, nope, don't pray for me. Nope, don't want a prayer. I mean, she's straight up. That baby just straight up. I go in there and say, Papa's gone. Nope, Papa, don't pray for me. Almost hurt my feelings the first time, Mac. Broke my heart. I'm like, oh, no, he's the best thing ever happened to me. You know? And then it went from going in there to prayer, read her a book and going to pray for her. Next thing, it was her hair. Here, Papa, get my hair. Didn't want me to get her hand. I wanted to jerk that ponytail one night. Give me that hair. You won't want me to get it again. Praise God. And now she's like, Papa, you didn't pray for me. You ain't prayed for me yet, Papa. Pray for so-and-so at school. Pray that I'll have good dreams and I'll sleep all night, Papa. I said, well, shut your eyes and you'll go to sleep. She wears Teresa's sleep mask on her forehead. What kind of help is that? She gets it on her forehead. Can't go sleep, Papa. I'm like, put it on your eyes. Get it off your forehead. Hallelujah. But you know what, praise God? Don't let the, I'm telling you, Satan's got some of you. He's attacking you. He's attacking you through people and lies to your mind and all that. It's time to roll all that over on the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. The 2021 is going to be the best year of the church. You know how come I really believe that? Because the church has been under such attack this year that I've never seen. Christians have been under such attack all year like I've never seen of my 27 years in ministry. And I mean, this church, I shut this church down against my conviction, praise God, based on KIV and a lot of them, praise God. And I did it for just a little while, and I felt backslid. I mean, I honestly felt backslid. I felt like, man, this can't be the way church is. He's coming back after a glorious church, a strong church, a vibrant church. This ain't it, Lord. And I opened it back up and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, this has been my battle, Lord. This was my battle, Lord, but the battle's over. I will go to jail before I'll shut the church down again, Lord. It will not happen, praise God. And you know what? We've been growing in people ever since. I've been trying to get people to come to church for 15 years. And now you ain't even asking them, they showing up. You know, I believe we broke through in the spirit realm. I believe that we broke through in an anointing, praise God, that we didn't have before the battle. And I believe in the battles, when you hang on to the Lord, you break through into an anointing you've not walked in before. I believe you go from great faith to faith and from glory to glory. The Bible says it. Hallelujah. And I believe not just to the church, I believe I've stepped up further, praise God, because of the battles that I won't yield to the flesh in and standing on the Lord. You'll never see the glory of God if you don't believe God in the middle of your attack, praise God. You won't see no glory. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. We